In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The church is still ringing with the Alleluias of Ascension Day. Jesus, God's Son in human flesh, is the triumphant King. He has crushed the head of Satan, removed the sting of death, destroyed the power of sin. And now the victorious Jesus, with our own human nature, is seated at the right hand of the Father. Truly, we sinners are reconciled to God. And what a celebration it is. Let's not let the celebration die down, but as the triumphant Christ would have it, let the celebration continue on unto eternity. For Christ did not ascend into heaven in order to separate himself from us, but rather to reign through us, his church on earth. You'll recall at his ascension, Christ commissioned the apostles. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We share in Christ's glory. We also share in Christ's ministry. We call it the mission of the church. And now we come to the text from Matthew 10, where Jesus describes for us in this particular area what the mission of the church is going to be like, or what it's going to be like for those who are engaged in his ministry. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. Now, the context of chapter 10 in Matthew is important. In chapter 9, Christ has been going around the various villages, preaching, teaching, and healing many people. And at the end of the chapter, Matthew records for us that Jesus looks up and he looks out at all the crowds before him, and his heart is moved to compassion. Because he looks there and he sees those who are distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. And then he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. And then chapter 10, Jesus commissions the 12 to go out with authority in his name. Jesus describes their mission for this particular time as being one of proclaiming that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then with the text, Jesus describes what it will be like in the future after his ascension when they continue to go out on his mission. They will be like sheep among wolves, easy prey, constantly being stalked. In his high priestly prayer from the gospel lesson of this past Sunday, Jesus comes before his Father on behalf of his disciples. Jesus knows full well, as he was hated in this world, so also his disciples will be hated. They'll be persecuted, even put to death. But Jesus prays to the Father, not to take them out of the world, but that he would protect them, surround them, guard them with his mighty name. And then he says, as you have sent me into the world, Father, I also have sent them into the world. At odds with the world, hated by the world, the disciples are sent out by Christ. Therefore, Jesus tells them, you must be shrewd, prudent like serpents, innocent or honest like doves. Don't be naive and don't be a schemer, but you're to be Christ-like, honest and simple in all that you do as you go out in Jesus' name, serving in his ministry. Jesus then goes on to describe just what it will be like for them in his mission. There will be persecution, physical suffering, harassment, trials before earthly kings. And all of this would come not because of who they are in themselves, but because of who Christ is, who they represent, in whose name they go out. In essence, what Jesus is describing is that the church on earth will be a witnessing and suffering church. We can see this in the life of St. Paul, rejected by his own people, the Jews. They plotted to catch him, to kill him. Arrested, he was hauled before Roman authorities, all for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus not only warned his disciples of what they would face as they were on his mission, but he also gave them a promise. When hauled before tribunals, a frightening prospect indeed, they were not to be afraid, fearful over what they should say, for the Holy Spirit would give them the words to speak. Jesus then continues on with the chapter to describe the witnessing and suffering church in the rest of the chapter. Those engaged in the mission of this church would be called upon for complete commitment on their part to the ministry of Jesus Christ, no matter what they would encounter. Family member may turn against family member because of Jesus' name. Believers will be accused of being people of Satan. They would be called upon, though, to confess Jesus Christ before all men and to carry their cross as they would follow Christ. After Jesus gave these instructions about being involved in his ministry, we're told in the very next chapter, then verse 1, that he immediately departs from there and goes into the cities himself to preach and teach. Now this reinforces the fact that the mission or the work of the disciples, what they were sent out to do, is not a substitute for Christ's work, but an extension of his ministry. So then what does it all mean for us? Well, for those who serve in the pastoral office, for those who will soon enter into that office, we need to remember that we are sheep sent out amongst the wolves. We're sent out into a world that hates us as much as it hated Christ. We need to remember that as we go out not in our own ministries, but we go out in the ministry of Jesus Christ, for it is his ministry in which we serve. And we need to remember that we serve a witnessing and suffering church, and that we must be ready to confess Christ before men and to carry our cross no matter what the cost will be. When we think about the prospects of going out there in that world filled with wolves, it can be very intimidating indeed. And too easily we can be influenced, maybe because it's so difficult to do the task of Christ's ministry. Maybe we're influenced to change the message of Jesus Christ just a little bit to fit the culture, which no longer wants to submit to an authority outside of itself. Too easily we cower at the hatred of those who reject Christ and therefore reject us. On our own, we will be intimidated and influenced, and we will fail Christ who has sent us. But the gospel tells us that as we go out amongst that into that world, we are not alone. Paul says that we are weak clay vessels, but he also says that we share in Christ's glory, and he is the one who empowers us for service. The hymn we sang, O Lord, we praise you. Here with your body and your blood you nourish our weak souls that they may flourish. May your body, Lord, born of Mary, that our sins and sorrows did carry, and your blood for us plead in all trial, fear, and need. No matter what we face out there in the world, no matter what the wolves may try to do to us, no matter how difficult it is, we are not alone. For it is the triumphant, victorious Christ who sits at the right hand of the Father. He is the one who is with us all the time. He is the one who nourishes and strengthens us. He shares his glory with us and sends us out to serve in his ministry, proclaiming his compassion for all sinners. And it is in this, then, as we serve under the ascended Lord Jesus Christ, triumphant over our sin and death and the devil himself, when we serve in that, Then the celebration of Ascension Day continues to ring from now and into eternity. Amen.